lingering, don't you? You've prayed and you've prayed and you've cried day and night. He said, but wait on the Lord. Isaiah 40 and 31 said, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall mount up with wings of eagle, and they shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord. And you know God's people have a problem with waiting. Because like our four says, we live in this fast microwave world. And we want everything instant, right there and then. But we have to wait on God, because it's in his appointed time, not your time, not my time, but in God's appointed time. He will reveal. He will make everything all right. He says they will speak of the end and it will not prove false. So God wants us to wait on him. God sometimes seems like he's silent or inactive when we pray. But my brothers and sisters, you need to know that God is involved in your purpose and your destiny. But it's all in his timing. When you think about Israel, who was in bondage for 400 years, and at the appointed time, at the right time, God sent Moses and told Moses, go down to Israel and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. But it was at the appointed time when God got ready. He had already told Abraham that his seed was going to be in bondage for 400 years. But after those 400 years, God sent a man named Moses to deliver his people. So what I'm saying to you today, it doesn't matter what you're going through. Maybe going through depression. Maybe sick in your body. Maybe some kind of financial crisis. Maybe some kind of injustice in the courts. Maybe a spiritual warfare. Your children might be in crisis. Loneliness. Whatever you're going through,
all right.
It's really gonna be all right.
It's gonna be all right.
No need to worry.
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events on the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
K-A-Y-T, 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. K-A-Y-T, 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I've
experienced today. Hallelujah. Get your Bibles. Stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, now as we turn our attention to your word, speak to us, not only through the scripture, but through your spirit. Meet us in the text, tailor the truth that we are teaching so that every hearer's heart might hear what you have to say today to us. And God, we'd be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God said,
Amen. Amen.
Turn your Bibles, if you don't mind, to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 12. We shall commence reading at verse 27. John chapter 12, verse 27, recorded are these words. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Verse 33 says, this he said, signifying what death he should die. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word and to the hearers and more especially the doers. Jesus predicts his death. What a powerful word. A word that gives us to know that Jesus' death was not an accident. The way that God had prepared and planned this death says to us that we were in the forefront of God's thinking, that God provided a way for us through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, so much so that everything that happened as related to the salvation of man happened on God's timetable. It was nothing accidental. It was nothing incidental. It was all the reality of God's great planning and his Son and all that God himself had said and spoken of through Scripture to bring us up to this hour. What is interesting about it is Jesus is very real about his emotional state, about his human state. And I think it's helpful to us because when he says, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. He was showing you the struggle between the natural and the supernatural. He was showing you the struggle between deity and humanity. He was showing you the struggle that he himself as the Son of God went through and as the Son of Man. And that suggests to us that when God has ordered and ordained something for us to do, that it may not be the very thing we want to do, but when the time comes to do it, there may be some natural issues underneath the skin. There may be some heartaches underneath the skin. There may be some fears underneath the skin. But if God has ordered it and ordained it, we ought to operate in it. He says, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Listen at this now, because he says, it's for this cause came I unto this hour. You know, it's one thing to expect something to happen, to know it's going to happen, to even be planned for it to happen, but it's a whole nother level in that experience when the time for it to come happens. Maybe you've been with a loved one and they've been pronounced with a death sentence of so many months or so many weeks or so many days, and inevitably you know it's going to happen. And there you are around the clock, you are watching, you are waiting, you are praying, you're doing all that you can do, but there's one thing you can't do is stop the hour that God has ordained. And yet you try to prepare yourself for it and you say this is going to be and I'm going to be strong and this happens and so forth and so on. But when the hour actually comes, sometimes there are so many emotions that are released and there are just so many things that go on underneath the skin that you never thought it would have affected you the way that it affected you. And so Jesus says, but what shall I say? I knew this was coming. I knew this was to be. I knew I was to do this. And so I cannot change my mind. Look at verse 28. Father, glorify thy name. He says, listen, even though my soul is troubled, even though the human part of me has to make this sacrifice, I know I cannot, nor do I desire to turn around. But he says, this is really not about me. This is about you, God. Yeah. And I'm trying to help us to understand that when you're dealing with some things and you're going through some things and God has ordered and ordained some things that you've got to walk through, when it's time to walk through, one of the best ways to take your mind off of your suffering is to put the mind on the glory God gets for what you've got to go through. So he says, in light of his soul being troubled, God, is really not about me, but glorify thy self. Thy name. Thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven just after he said it, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Now listen to this, my brothers and sisters. Jesus said, make sure, God, you glorify your name. This is about you, you getting the glory for it. And so listen to this. Sometime you got to go through some stuff for God to get glory in the way that he desires to get glory. Sometimes you've got to suffer. Sometimes you've got to go through situations and circumstances that you'd rather not go through. But understand this. If God gets the glory, then you will get the good. And God wants the glory from you. Matter of fact, we were created to make God's praise glorious. And there are things our lives are assigned to do and to be that gives God the praise and the glory like nothing else. So that's one of the things that the enemy does not want you to know, is that your life is purposed. Tell your neighbor, your life is purposed. You might not know the purpose, but your life is purposed. God has not put a person on planet Earth and not purposed them for something. So your life is purpose, and the devil wants to keep you from discovering your purpose. But Jesus knew his purpose. He knew his purpose. See, when you want to get into a pity party, just think of your purpose. Because he said, my soul is troubled, but what shall I say? God, don't do this. Don't let this happen to me. When that was the very purpose of my coming down here on planet Earth. So then after God said that he would glorify his name and do it again, verse 29 says, the people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to it. Now I want to throw this out parenthetically so you'll understand. Everybody can't talk or understand heaven talk. Did you hear what I just said? They were standing right there near Jesus, and God said, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Those who were standing around said, it sounded like thunder. Then others said, no, it was an angel who spoke to him. But they couldn't interpret nor understand heaven talk. You got to be a part and connected to God in order to understand the unique communication that God has with his children. That's why when you got your connection connected with God, you can be standing in your enemy's face and have a little talk with God, and they can't interpret what you're talking about, and God hears, knows, and understands what you're saying, and he'll speak back to you, and it'll sound like a bunch of thunder, a bunch of noise, and it'll be so clear in your ear what thus saith the Lord. Oh,
Well, my brothers and sisters, don't ever miss the opportunity to learn how to connect with God in the Spirit. Because when you connect with God in the Spirit, let me tell you, when you talk to Him in the Spirit, it sounds like mumble jumble to folk who don't understand that language. What is that noise? All of that. Blah, 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 blah. It might sound like that to you, the person who don't understand the language. But to God, He understands everything you're saying. So when we look at this word, my brothers and sisters, verse 30 says, Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. I didn't need this confirmation in the spirit realm. I already knew this. God spoke this word in the natural realm. But He did it so you will understand. Because notice, when Jesus spoke, He acknowledged who He was speaking
to.
That's
right.
He made it clear when He said, Father. That was clear. You remember a little later on the cross, He cried out, Father, again. It was clear that He was directing His conversation and communication to God, and it wasn't to man. And so He was talking to His heavenly Father, and His heavenly Father spoke back to Him. And they still missed it. That's why that communication is so important. That's why in the midst of a whole lot of people, they may not be connected to the same God, to the same Lord, to the same Father that you're connected. That's why it's a personal thing. So the Bible says again, verse 30. Jesus then said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Then Jesus deals with verse 32, and He says, and I. If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Now when you look at that, will draw, it was already connected with and I. I hear some people say, If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw. No, that's already established. Who's going to do the drawing? See, because when you look at this word and understand it the way the Lord Jesus Christ, and I just kept looking at this because and I was personal. But then when He says, if I be lifted up from the earth, listen at this because this is important. He was dealing with procedure. Then He says, will draw all men unto me. That was the promise. Now, when we go back to and I, that didn't change. That was the Christ. And that part didn't change. And the will draw unto me, all men unto me, didn't change. But what is important for us to understand is that part right there in the middle that says, if I be lifted up from the earth. The first time I told you about it, it was procedure. But the second time you get a deeper revelation, it's dealing with participation. The first and I still personal. The end is the promise, will draw all men unto me. But what is the difference here in the middle is that part that is related to man. Here it is again, participation. Why? Because He can't get on the cross and lift Himself up. He can't do but what He is designed to do. Man has been brought into the equation to help him do his part and for him to understand that God must have the participation of the one that He's going to save in order to save him. And so there's participation there on the believer. Every time we lift up the name of Jesus, we do our part. We lift Him up. And the promise is, He'll draw all men unto me. It's important for you to understand that Jesus does not do what He is not assigned to do. Lifting Himself up was not a part of the equation. And so it's your responsibility to participate in this. Mean and wicked men lifted Him up at first because it was the nailing of my Savior and your Savior on the cross But that wasn't just enough. Even if they had nailed him, listen, to the cross and would not have lifted him up, Scripture would not have been fulfilled. It's not just about having been nailed on the cross, but that cross had to be lifted up with the Savior on it. Listen at this. It was so that men could see the Savior. You go back in the likeness that is of this, when Moses talked about how this would be a type of Christ, etc. The understanding when those who had murmured and talked against the word of God, the will of God, the way of God, were bit by serpents.
Yeah.
That was a serpent put on a stick and it was lifted up. And everybody who looked upon that serpent received salvation. So is the Son of Man to be lifted up so men can see who he is. And in seeing who he is, they become saved. Listen at this. It's important to understand, again, the personal part, and I, the promise, will draw all men unto me, does not change. But if I be lifted up from the earth, listen, gives another revelation, for it is the plan. The plan. God planned this thing out from the beginning. That was the procedure, that was the participation, but the ultimate reality was, it was the plan of God. It pleased God, the word says, to bruise him. It pleased God to deliver him up to death. It pleased God in so much that he was the only one who could do it. And the pleasure was in knowing that he laid his life down. He gave up his life. He willingly did what none other could do and stood in our place. So the pleasure God had was not in killing him, but in knowing there was not another like him who could do what only Jesus could do. And he volunteered. Man, that pleased God. He's searching all of heaven and all of earth, and there is none worthy to stand in your place. And Jesus said, I'll do it. And it pleased him. My brother, my sister, when we look at this word and we recognize the power that is in this verse, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw. It is an act of my will draw. It's an automatic reality, will draw. All men. And we say, all men, wait a minute. What do you mean, Lord, all men? Do you mean all men as inclusive of all men? No, not all men in that way. What it literally means is all men from all races, all nationalities, all creeds, all colors, all countries, all concerns who desire to be saved. There is none from nowhere I won't save. All men, meaning representative of all men, all mankind. Not all men will be saved. That's clear from Scripture. So that's why you need to understand Scripture and understand it by Scripture to know, listen, God desires that no man perish.
All right.
But he knows not every man will accept and receive his Son, Jesus Christ. And that very reality is what we who are given to the procedure, to the participation, and to the plan must know. I don't know who's going to accept Jesus. My job is just to lift him up. You don't know who's going to accept Jesus. We don't prejudge. We don't have that privilege of saying who will accept it and who won't. Some of the worst and most unlikely folk are just waiting for Jesus to be lifted up so they can see him in this dark world and receive him. But we pass up the people on the street corners coming to the church to lift him up in the midst of brothers and sisters. We pass up the drug addicts and the prostitutes and the pimps on our way to church so we can lift him up in the church with folk who already know him. We pass up in a dark world the opportunity to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and to let his light so shine because we are afraid of those elements. But Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And what I'm so glad about is the fact that he didn't say he draw all men unto you. It said, "I will draw." He said, will draw all men unto me. So you don't have to be scared of the element. Jesus is drawing them to him, not to you. If you lift up Jesus, if you let that light shine, they will see the light. They might be looking at you at first, but when you lift up Jesus, it's not. Amen. What you are, but what he is. The focus is changed from you, which is the outlook, to him, which is the uplook. And that's where the healing, the power, the deliverance, and the salvation comes from. In the uplook, Jesus changes the perspective. See, when people want to make it about you and you witnessing, then you make it about him. See, they may see you, but soon after they see you, they ought to see him. I wish I had a helper in the house. I said as soon as they see you, not soon after that, they ought to see him. Because I'll tell you, when Jesus was being nailed to the cross, they looked at the soldiers. And when Jesus was finally put on that cross and lifted up, the view, the look, was no longer on the soldiers, but on the Savior. And every time he is lifted up, the view changes. It changes. In the spirit realm, it changes. Just get used to lifting Jesus up and watch how the atmosphere changes. Nothing happened in the atmosphere until Jesus was lifted up. All of the cosmos had a reaction to Jesus being lifted up. When they lifted up Jesus, the S-U-N son said, "I can't compete with him." So it stopped shining. It saw some stuff the other folk didn't see. So its light dimmed out so bad when it saw the S-O-N sun lifted up. The earth. Bible says that was an earthquake. It began to shake in the rock when Jesus was lifted up. Because the power came in him being elevated to the place where what was planned was coming to fruition. That the Savior, the Son of God, would be elevated to the position that whosoever will would see the true light, the true Son of God. And the plan then would be in operation. And so when Jesus elevated on the cross, looked down at those who were weeping for him.
Come on.
He said, "Weep not for me, but for yourself." God has got this thing fixed. It's the plan. God is working this thing out. So while he went through every utterance on the cross,